Second year in a row, I got up here without stepping on my microphone cord, so thanks for looking up. If we believed in signs, we'd say we're off to a good start. But it's good to be here. My wife and I usually come a day early and rest a little bit on Tuesday, and there's something happening to us when we travel. It's a little harder than it used to be. So we are thankful. Many of you have prayed for me over the last few months, and I suffer from a malady called obsessive information disclosure disorder. And so I will not torment you with every detail. Translated, that means my wife says I tell too much sometimes. I yielded ever how many minutes, Brother Hamill, needed of mine, as a congressman do sometimes, but I enjoyed the message. I really sat back there and didn't worry about my time, and it was worth coming for. It was worth listening to the whole trip. This is kind of a pilgrimage for us. Each year in April we plan on coming, whether I preach or not, and I mean that. I'll just show up. Brother Dan quit asking. If he quits asking me to preach, I'll just show up and listen to whoever has. And it's good for us to be here. We appreciate the opportunity and the friendship and fellowship of Home Baptist Church, Brother Dan Gordon. One time, after several years of not being able to come and I couldn't afford it, I showed up here. And Brother Titus later confessed to me that he thought I just didn't like him. And I said, Brother Titus, I was really in a situation when I first went to North Carolina that I couldn't afford to come. And I just dealt with it by staying home, hoeing in my pea patch, and waiting on the Lord to enable us to be where we could. And he said, Brother Asbury, if you'd have called me and let me know, we would have paid your way. And I said, I don't like to beg. And I really don't. You know, this is the preface to some other things. But we say that we believe in sovereign grace, and we're missionary, and we're landmark. And we got about 30 or 40 different titles, and we try to display that we just believe everything God says. Are you just as much sovereign grace when you're broke and you don't know how you're going to make it as you are when you got money in the bank? Are you just as much sovereign grace when you're sick as you are when you feel good? Now, I'm not trying to be smart, but I know my own heart and my own life. And I'm afraid sometimes that we're afflicted with, we believe in everything God says as long as things are going good for us. In Isaiah 59, the Bible mentions a place in a verse there where those that will do righteousness make themselves a prey. What we believe has never been real popular. In some places, regionally, it is. I realize that. But we live in dark days. And I want us to look at a time, and how are we to react? You know, many of you have prayed for me, and I fell off my house in November right before the conference, and I ran on adrenaline during the conference, and I had bronchitis during the conference. In February, I had shoulder surgery, and then bronchitis, and then pneumonia. And things are looking up. They really are. And on all of these things, I have really seen the good hand of God and the reassurances of God's promises in my life. Now, the worst thing I've had, and I may get myself in trouble, but the worst thing I've had for about a year and 3 months is the Obama flu. It's really going around. And so I don't know how we're going to get over this. But I do know who God is. And I do know that He sends nations sometimes some things to awaken them. I pray that God will be merciful to us during all of these things. In the book of Malachi, we want to talk to you tonight. This is probably a little bit of a different kind of message. I'm not really trying to be different. Whereas Malachi is the obviously the last book of the Old Testament. It closes out with chapter 4. I believe much of this is twofold prophecy, and I'll not try to discern all of that tonight. That's not my purpose. But in verse 5 of Malachi chapter 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite thee with a curse." And this closes out the Old Testament with the Jews in Babylonian captivity. And here is some prophecy of better times and something to look forward to. If you'll notice the things of this life that sometimes we give too much preeminence to and look forward to, they fade. They just keep being out in the future and we never reach them. You know, I've been paying for Medicare ever since I was 18 years old. And I've been looking forward to it, and I'm less than a year away from it. And they're messing it up. Yeah, for everybody. If you've already got it, it's not going to be what it used to be. And life really is elusive in fulfilling our desires to complete satisfaction. We get to enjoy a lot of the goodness of God. But here, the nation of Israel closes out, and they enter in what is called the 400 silent years. No new words from God. In Psalms 74:9, "We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long." And they went 400 years, and they didn't hear from God. I mean, things were dark. They went through the captivity of Babylon, the Greeks, Alexander the Great. They had and you can go study the order of all of these things, and a lot of things developed during this time that carried over into the days of Christ. And the true religion or true worship of Jehovah experienced great deviation from the truth by the time Jesus came along. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes were the enemies of the truth. And they were very prominent in the nation of Israel. And they were what had deviated from Old Testament true worship of God. They knew the law, but they tried to impose it upon everybody else and make exceptions for themselves. And we've always had that. But they went through a period of several periods of time. Cyrus, Herod the Great was a Gentile king who embraced Judaism, and they thought they had a friend. And he did them about as much harm as the Babylonian captivity and the Medes and the Persians and Alexander the Great and all of those did. He was cruel. And the nation was still, no doubt, looking. And I believe Luke chapter 1 tells us that this prophet was John the Baptist. It wasn't Elijah himself. But he had the spirit of Elijah. And he did turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children, because he upset the apple cart, so to speak. He wasn't the next priest out of the household of Zacharias. He was a preacher. And he went out preaching, and he preached the same message to the religious folks as he did the publicans and the sinners and the people of the day that were considered. He had one message for everybody: repent. That was an insult to the religious folks. It offered hope to the down and outers. That's what the gospel does today. It insults the religious folks, but it gives hope to the down and outers. You know, I like Paul on the road to Damascus. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But you know why he presents and argues? It was under divine inspiration, but he was so strong just in the truth, simple truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in Romans chapter 1. He was a product of the gospel. And he never got over being the product of the gospel. And he gave it credit for bringing about the supernatural birth and change in his life. And the truth that he hated, he became the friend of because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the case of you and I. The development during this time, and my point is simply this. God had a remnant, and we see the results of that remnant over in Luke chapter number 1. 400 years had gone by. Nobody's heard from God. Zechariah, when his time of duty came as a family of the priest, he went down and he read Scripture and he did the duties of the priest as if something was going to change just any minute. In other words, he was faithful under adverse circumstances. He just kept on going. This had been happening for 400 years. However you figure up a generation, several generations had gone by. One generation right after another of some people. And they were in a minority, but they were being faithful. There was a lineage of priests that kept doing their duty. They kept studying the Word of God. They kept reading the Word of God. They kept instructing their families that God was going to send somebody in the spirit and power of Elias, and the day would change. And one day Zacharias went to do his job. And the angel sent from God appeared to him. Hadn't heard anything for 400 years from God. Well, they had written Scripture. And that's what we have today. And if Jesus was to come and preach from us, for us, he'd take this book. And he wouldn't tell us anything new, and he would not tell us anything different. There's a lot of people can't stand that. Because that keeps one person from being more special than the other. You know, God spoke to me in a special way the other day. God's been speaking to me in a special way ever since I've been saved. And he always uses his word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit makes it irresistible when he wants me to pay attention to it. Amen. Now, look in the book of Luke chapter number 1. We want to... I'm cutting through probably a lot of things tonight that I might say, but in the book of Luke, Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 1, you know, when God wanted somebody to write about the virgin birth, he had a doctor ready. Amen. When he wants somebody to keep real good detailed records, he had an ex-tax collector, Matthew. When he wanted people to see that the Bible was for simple folks, he had a couple of fishermen named John and John Mark. And they wrote the simplest Greek that there is. God uses all kinds of people. Amen. When he wanted somebody that hated the gospel to be his friend, he saved him on the road to Damascus. Amen. And made him the apostle to the Gentiles. And Jews weren't supposed to believe God had anything for Gentiles. And here's Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and a keeper of the law, and a man that was above reproach among his peers. Now he's preaching Jesus. Amen. And he prays like those sinners pray. And he believes in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what he's preaching. And he's a revolutionary now. But really, he's a child of God. He thought he had it all. Now he has something to look forward to. Every day, no matter what happens. Put him in jail, he sings praises to the Lord. Jailers come to know Christ. Up to and including some, no doubt, that were chained to him in Caesar's household. He never stopped. He never stopped. And in Luke chapter number 1, Bible tells us here in let's start with verse number 5. There was in those days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias. You know, that certain priest was a remnant. Yes. Amen. According to grace. Amen. And no matter how hard times are, when God communicates the truth to us and gives us grace to believe what he has to say to us, it's a privilege. Amen. It's a privilege. As of the course of Abiah and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now we would say they were faithful. 400 years had passed. No new prophecy, no new message, not much activity, not much going on. Do your preachers, do your members ever come and say, you know, not much is happening in our church anymore? The best answer you can give them is be faithful. See what God does. You know what that really means is? Somehow or another, preacher, we love you and we think you preach the truth, but we don't think you're punching all the right buttons. Huh? I know nobody here has ever said that to their pastor. And we like to see people saved. We've got some lost folks in our services nearly every Sunday. And we like to see people saved. But I don't want to trick them into being deceived either. Amen. And I'm interested in souls. We talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ as we have opportunity. And when you get sick, you find that people in the healthcare profession really need Jesus. They really do. You talk to them. They want to get you out of that office just as quick as they can. If you want to go in and go out fast, ask some of them if they know the Lord. But God can use a lost doctor. He can use a lost nurse. And he can minister to our needs every time that it ever pleases him. But these Elizabeth and Zacharias were two of a faithful few. They still believed that God was going to send them a message. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both now were well stricken in years. When God wanted an Abraham, he had an older couple ready to have him. When he wanted a Baptist, he had an older couple ready to have the first one. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. So there were some there that were still faithful. Said a multitude of them, a bunch of them. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, this is not just talking about being scared, and I'm sure that there would be an element of fear would fall upon us. But there was a reverence. Amen, brother. He was walking close enough to God. Amen, he knew God was sending him a message. Amen. And he was sensitive to how God had worked in the Old Testament. Amen. He had read of it in the Scripture, and he had a knowledge of what was happening here. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. John was given purpose. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And John preached repentance, and when folks repented, he baptized them, and Jesus Christ took those that he'd baptized and set in the first church. Amen. All right. Now the silence is broken. The dimness is gone, and the light is beginning to shine through. And in the course of time, you go over and you read where the Lord Jesus Christ was promised to be the child of the Virgin Mary. 400 years have gone by. But within a year or so, a message has been received. The one that is going to fulfill the last two verses of the book of Malachi is going to be born of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And the one that he is going to preach about is going to be born of the Virgin Mary. The silence is broken, and the glory of God appears on the earth in the person and work of Jesus Christ himself. And God sets in course the economy of the New Testament, if you will, and there's no longer going to be a priesthood. There are going to be preachers. Jesus was a preacher. John the Baptist was a preacher. And we who have been called to the ministry have been called into a work far greater than we are.
Amen.
And the sooner we all get over ourselves, the better off our ministry goes.
Amen.
I don't want a kingdom here. I don't want a church full of people who don't know anything. I want them to know what the Bible says. And I want them to follow the Word of God. And I want them to follow my leadership as long as I'm right with the Lord and I'm giving them the instruction of the Word of God. Now, I want to turn with you. And my point is this tonight. No matter how dark the days may be, there truly is always something to look forward to. The book of Acts, chapter number 1. And verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's what is before us today.
Amen.
We're living in the days immediately before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And sometimes people say, and I can say, I've been hearing this ever since I was a child. And I've been believing it. Even I gave mental assent to it before I was ever saved. I knew that's what the Bible taught. And I knew enough about what was going on to know that Jesus was coming back someday. And it occurred to me when I was 32 years old that I wasn't ready because I didn't know him as my Lord and my Savior. But folks, for the Christian, No matter what this administration does, what the next administration does, or how bad the economy gets, or how bad the healthcare situation gets, we have something better to look forward to.
Amen.
Brother Hamill well introduced us tonight to the subject and to the idea that we haven't seen anything yet.
Amen.
And I've seen the good hand of God in my life many times over. I've seen his goodness displayed on my part. Brother, I do tell everything I know most of the time. Brother Lawrence has consented, if the Lord works out all this, to go to West Virginia as a missionary out of Brother Joe Collins' church. Now, if anything changed, y'all let me know right now. But, and Brother Lawrence is having some problems working out logistics, affordable housing for the size of his family. In fact, Brother Jeff really can't afford all of his family, but he's got them. But a house aside, all that's got to be worked out, and it really does. But if God's in him going, and if God's in him being a missionary pastor of that group he's going to, God will work out the logistics. Now, old preachers have lived long enough that we ought to believe that and tell young preachers it'll work. Because it does work.
Amen.
The last two moves I made, I didn't intend to go either place. I wasn't looking for a place to go. I was happy where I was. I had no aspirations to be pastor of Faith Missionary Baptist Church. Not only did nobody else want to follow Eugene Clark, this preacher didn't either. And I went there in fear and trembling. The Lord has blessed, such as I am. I've been able to satisfy the church most of the time when I preach. And God's given me the leadership, the confidence of the men and women there. He's given us a few souls. He's given us some missionaries. And it's the Lord's work. It's not ours. It's not mine. It's the Lord's work. But I always find that I have something to look forward to. I really do. Now, this same Jesus, not somebody else, this same Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Some of you here are a little older than I am. There's few people in the congregation older than I am anymore than there used to be. But that's the way of life. And if I live till Jesus comes back, that'll be all right. But if I die in the Lord, that'll be just as good.
Amen.
You know, I for years people said, oh, I'd like to be alive when Jesus comes back. I'm not so sure that it wouldn't be a wonderful thing to experience the grace of dying. I mean, is one so much better than the other? No, we're saved by grace. We're justified by faith and the resurrection or the glorification of our body and the ushering us into glory through death is all part of grace too. So I'm a little bit of a scoffer at the idea that it'll just be a wonderful thing to be here when Jesus comes. It's a wonderful thing to die and go to be with the Lord. According to the Scriptures, so, somebody, Brother Sean Trescott's a deep theologian. You enlighten me on that. Study up on it and try to maybe brighten my outlook a little bit. But I don't think dying is all that bad. The Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen, brother.
The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the next great event in biblical history that is going to take place.
Amen.
And the world is ripe for it. And he'll come in a day as a thief in the night for his people. And he'll come in a day when folks aren't looking for him. They're looking to Washington. They're looking to see what the next news broadcast is going to tell them. They're looking for the best social programs anybody can offer. I'll tell you what, I know the great physician when I'm sick. I believe probably one of the best surgeons in Paducah operated on my shoulder, but I know who blessed his work. And if anything, God moved him over there just in time to be there when I needed him. I'm special. In the providence of God, I'm special. There isn't anything about me special. But in the providence of God, I'm special. He watches over me. And when he gets ready to do something to glorify himself in my life, he can do it and he does a good job. It's not because of me, but it's because of him. Now look with me in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now you may disagree with me, but I believe Paul thought that it could be possible due to the political turmoil of his day that Christ could come back in his lifetime. And so since Jesus rose from the dead, ascended up into heaven, we've gone almost 2,000 years with the promise that he's coming again, give or take a little. What a wonderful promise. But during that 2,000-year period of time, we've seen the Dark Ages, horrible persecution in Europe and other parts of the world. We've seen in history saints slaughtered. We've seen World War II, where over 6 million Jews were killed. We've seen atrocities since then. We've turned as an American government, we've turned into a bunch of cowards. We turn our head on genocide all over the world and turn our backs on it unless it suits some political purpose that we have, and then we'll jump in.
Right.
We've turned our backs on our own soldiers from the Korean conflict to Vietnam. We've lost our loyalty to most things that are right, And when you sum all of this up, basically all this means is we're living in the last days and Jesus is coming.
Amen.
We are seeing the fulfillment of Isaiah 59 when he said when a man stands for the truth, he makes himself a prey. You won't find a politician tonight that'll dare stand against homosexual rights. There aren't any. We're running out of them. It's political suicide for a man to stand for the truth and say, I believe the Bible. We're living in those days. But our hope is not in the next politician. Look in 1 Thessalonians, and we'll just look at a few verses in each chapter. We always have something to look forward to. We get sick. If we don't get well, we go to heaven. I mean, that may be kind of flat, but that's the way it is. And that's a pretty good story. I'm not going to die and go to hell because of Jesus Christ. And if I live, it's because of Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, or 1 and 10, and to wait, what he was telling these Thessalonians is, yeah, I know you've had some trouble, you stood well, you've been faithful, you'll probably have some more, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
The coming of Christ was the hope of the Thessalonians. Verse 19 of chapter 2. For what is our hope, or our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Said, we're looking forward. If we don't get to see you again, we're looking forward to seeing you when Jesus comes.
Amen.
Coming of Christ. Chapter 3. Verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Something to look forward to.
Amen,
it's the coming of Christ. Toyota may get all their accelerators fixed, but it won't keep them from breaking down once in a while. You know, new cars always baffle me. You pay more for them than they're worth. In 3 years, they're old, and somebody's got one shinier that you're wanting to buy again. So it is with storied life. Everything here that you think will solve all your problems and make you happy is fleeting. It goes away. Chapter 4. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Notice that this same Jesus, that's him being talked about right here, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
You know where we're supposed to get our comfort?
Amen.
Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Comfort one another with these words. This is comfort for the living. This is comfort for the grieving over dead loved ones that have died in the Lord. And there's no end to it. It's appropriate at every Christian funeral service. And we use it over and over because it relates truth to us that comforts us. We've lost some precious saints in our church the last couple of years. Sister Nancy Dotson, a sweet musician of Faith Baptist Church and singer. Brother L.J. Andrews is a quiet man, church treasurer, always an encouragement to Brother Clark. He was always an encouragement to me. He loved the Lord. He loved his church. And God took him. But we are comforted even when we preach these funerals in the fact that it isn't final. It's just a temporary goodbye. And there's a veil of death between us and them. But that'll all soon be over with because Jesus is coming. I don't want to go to heaven to see Mom and Dad. I want to go to heaven to see Jesus. But if Mom and Dad's there, I'll be glad. And we'll have good fellowship, better than we ever had here. All right, chapter 5. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens here, we always, as Christians, have something to look forward to. And that is the coming of Jesus. Thank you. Pray for me.